especially today, I would like to focus on this grace and love we receive from the Lord and from the many people in our journey. I trust that most of you realize that tomorrow is a Veterans Day. And throughout this nation and around the world, wherever our nation's flag flies, some people will pause to remember the price that has been paid for the freedom that we enjoy. I would like, since we are not meeting tomorrow, to pause and remember those grace we receive from those servicemen and women, I would like to have a moment in our worship gathering to recognize those servicemen and women and the family members of those. If you are one of those, could you please stand up? Let us share our appreciation with a round of applause. Thank you. Thank you. Freedom is never free. It sounds like a paradox when you say it, but it is true. Freedom is never free. In the same way, forgiveness is never free. That too sounds untrue at first, but before forgiveness takes place, there is always a price to be paid. With that in mind, I would like to direct our attention to the story we just heard from the scripture reading from Gospel Luke chapter 7, verses 36 through 50. I would like to tell this story we just heard through the perspective of the woman in the story. It is about dinner party she was not invited to. Dinner parties are full of potentially awkward situations. There is always the chance that somebody's bowl of soup will end up in a lap, especially for those people who are around with the little children in this party. Someone might misread the invitation and show up a day early while you are still cleaning the house. Your scandalous neighbor might show up and start massaging your guest of honor's feet with the perfumed oil. You never know what might happen at the dinner party. And that last scenario is exactly what happens when Simon the Pharisee opens his home to Jesus. You see, Simon is a respectful guy. A woman is not. The Simon, the Pharisee, is a pillar of the community. But the woman is the talk of the town. Simon is the host. But woman is not even on the guest list. Nevertheless, having heard that Jesus was in town, this woman has a brilliant idea. She grabbed her best perfumed oil and sneaked it into her party, this party she was not invited to, hoping against the hope that she will have the opportunity to do something good, the act of kindness for Jesus. Perhaps anoint his head with oil, or at least give him a gift. She makes her way to the place where Jesus reclines at the table. She stands behind him with the servant, hoping to hear him speak those words of life that have so stirred her heart in the past. If you read the scripture, the verse 37, you and I can guess that she heard the good news of Jesus Christ in the past. So her life has been reformed and transformed and came out of the simple life and living the new life. As she attempts to listen without being noticed, she sees his feet. It is odd that they are still dirty from the day's journey. Evidently, no one washed the Jesus' feet when Jesus arrived. Indignant, she wonders how Simon could have this great teacher under his roof and yet not extend the most basic hospitality to him. It was Norman when a guest arrived to make him feel welcome by going through certain common courtesies back in Bible time. First of all, his feet would be washed. A servant would greet him at the door with a basin of water and would wash and dry his feet. After his feet had been washed, the host would come and greet him with a kiss to make him feel welcome and let him know that he was honor of the guest. And then it was a matter of the courtesy to anoint the head of the guest with some sweet-smelling oil to cooling off his head. All of these things went together to say, you are welcome in our house. But when Jesus visited the home of the Pharisee, none of these things happened, even though those were very basic welcoming gestures in that culture. The author of the Gospel Luke says that Jesus sat down at the table without his feet being washed, without the customary kiss or the anointing of oil. Perhaps this dinner is Simon the Pharisee's subtle way of interrogating Jesus, some attempts to figure out if he is a threat to the status quo. She wonders, is Jesus being set up? But again, her gaze is drawn to Jesus' feet. She is transfixed. The dust pair of feet have walked countless miles to deliver the message the kingdom of God is at hand. Jesus reminds her of the John the Baptist. They preach the same powerful message of the repentance, that there is something different about Jesus, something different between the messenger and the message. She continues to stare, and the words of the prophet Isaiah run through her mind. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of the messengers who announce peace, who brings good news, who announce the salvation. Before she is fully aware of what she is doing, she let herself down at the feet of Jesus and weeping. Her tears flow freely. They are tears of anger at the rude reception Jesus has received at the hands of his ungracious host. They are tears of gratitude because Jesus has given her a reason to live once again. They are tears of compassion. She has been on the receiving end of Simon's judgment and knows how unpleasant it can be. Her weeping has left little streams on Jesus' feet. And without a second thought, she lets down her hair and begins to dry his feet with her hair. She is aware of the stir she is causing, but she stays her course, if only to teach Simon a lesson on how a guest is to be received. Then she takes out her perfume and anoints those beautiful gospel-carrying feet. As she does, she hears the stories Jesus began to speak, as if to answer a question that has not been asked. He tells a story about debt. Two debtors, one who owed a little and another who was in a way over her head, were both unable to pay back, and both were forgiven. Jesus asked, now which one of them will love him more? She knows exactly that the story is about her. As far as sin goes, She is the huge debtor. And everyone in there, including Jesus, knows that. The unexpected twist in the story is what the two debtors have in common. Both of them could not pay back. And both had to be forgiven or face a financial ruin. Jesus is talking about Simon too. She hears Jesus tell Simon that while he neglected his duties as a host, she has welcomed Jesus with a love and display of hospitality. Then he turns to her and says, "Your sins are forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." She does not hear the murmurs of the other guests grumbling at the sayings of Jesus' forgiving of her sins. Filled with the radiance of peace, she covers her hair. Now matters that she was heading to the road to home. Sweet-smelling perfume, she practically walked on air all the way home. Because she was forgiven, she was recognized by this amazing Jesus. Her faith, her utterly abandonment to the love of Christ, her grateful self-surrendering to the source of all being, saves her. She is forever changed. Now, question for you and me here. How does this story relate to the feelings of patriotism that we have expressed in this morning? I think it does relate to each other because freedom and forgiveness related to each other in so many ways. For example, every person in this room is in debt to society, to our nation, and to God. We are all debtors. Now, if I were to talk about atonement or regeneration, some of you might wondering what I'm talking about. You might wondering, what is a regeneration? What is atonement? That is just a high vocabulary we never heard of it. We do not use it in our regular church ministry. But that concept is placed in this story. Simply, it is saying that it is saying about our being in debt. And you know exactly what I'm talking about when I'm talking about the debt in here. All of us are debtors. An important asset when we are in debt is a good memory. Because if you and I do not remember to whom we owe money, we are going to have all kind of troubles. For example, you have a debt to pay to the Bank of America, but your memory is saying that you needed to pay the Wells Fargo. What's going to be happening? Late charges are going to be accumulated in the Bank of America, right? Good memory needed to be there in order to be paying back as much as we can. And Simon's problem was that he had a poor memory. I imagine when Simon looked at himself, he thought, "God, you are lucky to have me on your team. I'm pretty special. I have memorized all the laws of the Jew, and I pray beautiful prayers, and I do many significant things for you. I'm a Pharisee, and I have mastered all the art of being a Pharisee. I read the Bible. I followed all the 613 rules. God, I am pretty special guy. You should be proud of yourself to have me on your team." What Simon forgot was that he was a sinner too. His sins were sins of the heart, and he didn't recognize them as sins. So it was easy for him to forget that he needed forgiveness too. We often forget that how sinful person you and I are. By coming to church, yes, it is a good gesture of honoring God in our lives. It is a basic practice of the Christian faith and following Jesus Christ. And yet, coming to church does not make us superior than other people out there who does not know Christ. We are sinners together. Some sins are better than good. We judge sometimes, but sin is sin at the sight of Christ. It is easy for us to forget how indebted we are to those who pay the price to achieve freedom for us. It is easy to come into God's house and open our Bibles and forget those early pilgrims who crossed the ocean to settle in this new land for the glory of God. We put hamburgers on the grill and sit around enjoying all the material blessings that God has given us and forget the blood that was shed so that the stars and stripes could fly in the breeze and in the air that we could still enjoy the freedom that is ours as citizens of the United States of America. We owe a great debt to those who have gone before us. We also owe a great debt to our God who has redeemed and forgiven us. We are all debtors. And yet, we are forgiven. Secondly, we can never repay that debt. The commonality is in there. When I think of the debt of freedom that I owe to our forefathers, I realize that that is not payable. I cannot pay that. And when I think of the debt that I owe God in heaven for the price that He has paid for my sins, I realize I cannot pay that either. Now back to our story. This woman came to Jesus and fell at His feet. She wept at His feet with her tears and tried to dry them with her hair. Then she anointed Him with oil. It was an expression of gratitude and love. Some of you might say, well, that's the way to pay God back. But she wasn't paying Him back. All she was doing was saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving me and saving me and for giving me the life. That's all you and I can do, too. We cannot pay back God. We cannot pay back our forefathers. So we give thank God and our forefather. Our deepest thanks goes to them from our hearts. I am encouraging you and I this week to remember the grace and mercy we received from our forefathers and from our God and celebrate this amazing freedom God given to us. God given to us through the forefather also with our deepest thanks in our heart. Let us have a deepest thanks in our heart and irradiate this amazing thankful spirit to wherever we go. Let us be thankful.